It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a zombie hunter in Colorado. That'll get you in trouble with the law. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. You can also watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page, courtesy of Zoom. Audio is better on davincomedy.com, but the pictures are better on Facebook Live, because there are no pictures on davincomedy.com. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Yes, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello, Joe. And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip. On the show, a 12-year-old boy gets suspended from school when his toy gun flashes across a virtual learning class. The horror. A subject that I didn't know if we were going to cover. I had it in there, and then I was going to renege on it, but the kid said cover it. Trump breaks Nevada law and holds a PAC rally inside. And in that, I included a lot of the Woodward audio. There's a lot there, so you might get one of your knockdown drag-out brawls that we haven't had in a while. Or maybe we'll get along. I don't know. I never know with Joe what I'm going to get these days, and I kind of like it like that. But
I'm going to talk some shit.
The thing with Trump is I've really tried to stay away, like, the past month or two of, like, overtly Trump topics. Because it's just so much, and it's so everywhere. And, you know, you feel like we've covered all there is to cover. But wait, there's more. There's always more. It never ends. It couldn't just be a normal damn election with normal rallies and normal election bullshit from both sides that we could ignore and, you know, if we wanted to argue policy. No, it could never be that. So we'll get into that. A Florida sheriff will not allow masks. No masks if you want to go into the sheriff's office or if you want to work there. Trick-or-treating, should it happen via COVID-19. I'm sure Pip will have some strong feelings about that. Halloween is her favorite holiday. She is on the street with the kids call her in the drug den, the Great Pumpkin. So I'm sure she will have a lot of thoughts on that. Well, don't act surprised. We know. We know. We know your real name and your street name. Don't you worry, Missy. Would you take your kids to a topless beach? And if you did, would you bitch about it? We'll get into that later on. And we'll catch up with Carolyn Fuchs, my scammer. When we last left off, she wanted a new iPhone, and fake Davin had a life-altering experience. I do want to ask you kids a question. I was asked something by a scammer that I consider to be the most flattering thing I've ever been asked by a scammer. I will not tell you what it is. It's a story we have not covered. We will one day, I'm sure. But if you guys guess it correctly, the most flattering thing a scammer could ask me, I will tell you if you are correct. Joe, you can go first.
You're handsome?
That's not a question. They always say I'm handsome. That's your guess? That's your guess?
The most flattering question?
The most flattering question a scammer could ask yours truly.
Huh. I don't know how to phrase, something that would be like the most flattering question.
It's a question they asked me. If you guys don't say it, we will just tease it from anywhere.
How much can I send you?
Okay, that's a very, very good. Very good. That is incorrect, but very good. Very good. Pip.
I think I want to say something along the lines of, what's somebody like you doing looking for somebody online? That you know, like, aren't you, like flocked by ladies?
Nope. All right. We will get to that when we get to that. I look forward to that many months down the line. This story that I'm working on now has certainly picked up intrigue within the past week or so. Little intrigue.
Right. If I could add something, the clips that I finished last night.
They'll go up on Thursday. They'll go up Thursday.
Okay, so they're going to go up Thursday. If you're listening to the show, check those clips out. There was our scammer, Jane. And Jane had wrote Davin that she had a fiancé. And Davin actually talked to the fiancé. And while Davin was talking to the fiancé tries to call Davin's bluff and goes, I know all about you. And that's a tact that the scammers use to scare you, to try to put you off, to put you on guard. Davin just rushed in like a pit bull and sunk his fucking fangs into this guy, which was really great. And the three of us were talking about it, how great it was, where this guy tried to put him on the ropes, and he just charged in. The guy was never expecting it because the scammers are expecting to put you on the ropes. And unfortunately, all of the time, they have these people on the ropes. Doesn't realize that this guy is on a show about scammers. And Davin just sunk his hand. This guy did not. Well, as I said on the show, this guy didn't know whether to shit or wind his watch.
Now, as I recall, when we last put them up 2 weeks ago, I was already talking to the fiance. Is this more of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was. There were the clips that went up last week when we left off with there was the second clip of last week. You started the conversation, and then you got deeper into the conversation. What you'll hear on the clips this week is you calling his bluff.
No,
and us discuss. And the thing about it is, you didn't really notice it. We went to discuss it, and both Pip and I mentioned, it's like, you know, this guy thought he had you on the ropes. And I go, half the reason that this guy was like, because he wasn't expecting you to come right at him.
Oh.
After he thought you were putting him up. As I said, that was like me trying to throw a punch at you and you wailing me with a bat. You know, you thought you were going to get the upper hand. You weren't expecting that. You
know? I always enjoy listening to the scammer clips because I really don't remember the shit that I've done. I have no idea. Yeah. And then I listen to it and go, oh, that was pretty good.
and the funny thing is, when we do the clips live, it's funny because usually a day or so ago, I've been sitting because when I do the clips, I have to listen to them. I log them minute by minute. I make a log minute by minute, and then I tape them. So I'm really sitting with this stuff. And then we go into the live stuff, and there are nights when I'm like exhausted that I might go, well, Jane said, we're not doing Jane right now.
Well, the challenge with all these scammers at this point is to keep the stories fresh for you kids. That's what it really is. Like, I got to keep on, like, coming up with all these new personalities and quirks and different approaches, whereas if I was just doing it for my own amusement, maybe sometimes I would be a porn star more than once. I'd be a fluffer more. You know what I'm saying? I would write porn more. But for you guys, I got to keep on, like, reinventing myself, and it gets confusing.
Right.
You know what's really funny is that every once in a while something that you said to one of the scammers will pop into my head, and Mr. Hillux was teasing with me, and he was saying something over and over again, and I was like, oh my God, he's having a keystroke, and I'm like...
Really? Really? Really?
Really? Really? Really?
What helps you is, what helps you on stage, you're very quick, you know, with responses and stuff like that. It's a skill I wish I had, but you're very quick on stage and on your feet. So there was a couple of times that you came up with a lot of stuff, and I'm like, did you script this? I was like, no, I didn't script this. I'm lying. I'm talking to this woman. I can't script anything. I got to do this, like, right off the cuff. So a lot of the stuff that comes off really well is your ability to think on your feet, you know?
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
It's fine. Here's the hard part now. When we first started this, like, we were doing this, like, in real time. Like, I would talk to them earlier in the day or sometimes during the show, and I would bring it to you live. Now, it's like, oh, this just happened. I can't wait to tell you guys. And it might be like a month or a year. And by the time we get it, like right now, we're doing Carolyn, and we're in, we just started October of 2019. And I can already tell you, I don't remember this shit from October 2019. So when I'm reading it, a lot of the stuff I don't remember happening.
Right. So realistically, the way the clips have been running, What we will be discussing live later in the show will probably be coming eclipse. Oh Jesus Christ! Probably around this time, 2021.
Maybe. I mean, we've been moving along. I mean, I know we have some other ones to go through after Jane. Jane was a lengthy one. Then we have some shorter ones.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I listened to some of the clips maybe about 6 months ago, and I'm listening to the show, and it was while my house was up for sale. And it's like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, well, wherever I'm going, I hope I like the place and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm sitting in the kitchen of the new house going, huh.
At least it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
at least you're sitting in your own kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah, you could right. be in a cardboard box. You
know? Okay.
That moment I thought I was, you know, it kind of worked
out.
Yeah.
I filmed my first online TV show this past week. I'd never done this before. It's this platform called Viva La TV. I think it's like a Hulu type thing, but there's also free channels. So I did this for the BMG Comedy Channel. It's like Broadway Comedy Club presents a virtual event, and this is like episode 3. So I'm like doing it like I set up like a backdrop and everything, and I'm doing it with my own equipment. I'm doing it all off my phone, and I got the backdrop. And the thing is, there's no audience for this. There's no audience, so they're going to fill in laughs later on, which I've never done anything like this. Whatever videos I put out there, what?
That's helpful.
Right. I mean, you know, whatever videos I have floating around on YouTube or for other TV or whatever, there's always been an audience there. But this is like no audience, so I have to pause so they have room to put the sweetener in. And it's just kind of interesting. A lot of new stuff on there. A lot of stuff... Well, then a lot of people haven't seen. I did a decent amount of new COVID-19 stuff, which I haven't really been able to bring to a live stage. Mm-hmm. Did some older stuff, and Netflix is looking at it, so who knows? But if you have a chance, Viva La TV, and it's channel 217. It might be up there now. It's free. Download it. Whatever. I just thought it was interesting. It's like now we're at the point where I'm you never used to do. What are you doing the show from your basement? Yeah, I'm doing it from my basement. What are you gonna do it outside in the junkyard? Yeah, that's where the show is, in the junkyard. What's your problem and everything? What are you gonna add audience to it? Yeah, we're gonna add audience to it. Post all this shit. We turned our nose up to. Ugh, what a bunch of losers. How could they do that? What, there's 25 people scattered? Who the hell's seating this place? Yes, that's what we're doing now. That's what stand-up comedy is now.
And believe me, like I said, I've been doing the workshops, and I did the workshop Thursday to get ready for my weekend, and at the workshop you had some guys that have been doing it a year, some guys that have been doing 6 months, and then you got myself, Chris Monty, Rich Walker, Richie Byrne, you know, because we all had shows coming up and stuff like that. I was working on all my new COVID stuff and stuff like that, you know, getting ready for that. But, you know, yeah, it's been very interesting.
The good thing about an online show is I really don't have to remember my act. That's the good thing. Like, I was only doing, 8 to 10 minutes, but I could just put down, a lot of comics keep doing it. But for years when I started, I would write down, a phrase so I knew what bit it was. And now comics who do it for years. Joe still goes over a set. I don't go over set. Well, before this, I didn't go over a set list anymore. People are like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea. Because I had so much command of my material. Now, I don't remember the shit I used to do all the time.
Let me tell you something. Like I said, I was at Uncle Vinny's this weekend live. It was a live show. It was scattered seating to be COVID compliant. So I learned a lot. I learned a couple of things which are very interesting. Number one, we do the show now. Dave Landau is headlining, but Bob Levy was hanging out on Friday night. Rich Voss is hanging out on Friday night. You know, so Dino tells me Rich is going to go up and do 10 minutes in front of you. You know, and I'm like, I'm saying to myself, that's fine. That's fine. I go, holy cow. I go, I have been off for 6 months. Now, I'm doing the workshops. So the workshops are in front of just comics, and there's no crowd there. So I go, holy cow. I go, I got to go up after 6 months and follow Voss? I'm like, well, it is what it is. I got to figure something out here. So Rich brings me up.
Yeah, but hold on. Voss hasn't been working a ton either. It's not like Voss has been working every weekend, and you've been off for 6 months.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, you know, Rich is a lot better comic than I am.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. He's a different comic than you are. I don't know if he's better than you are.
Yeah. But I go, I got to figure something out. So what I do is I get up on stage, And I go, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Rich Voss. I go, I'll tell you a story. I asked the owner, Dino, last year. I go, what would it take for me to follow Rich Voss? And he goes, a fucking plague. And I'm like, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am.
That's funny. Good line. Good line. Good boy.
So, take a plague.
I was doing my acting. I was doing okay. I noticed some interesting things. Stuff that was working at the workshop was going okay during a regular set. Stuff that wasn't going that great at the workshop was doing fine.
Well, that's normal. Think about this. How often have we said, don't play to the comics, don't play to the back of the room? That's what you're doing at the workshop. It's a hard gauge.
Yeah.
So you're getting right. laughs on stuff that maybe regular people don't, you know, so it's not really that abnormal.
Right. Now, to add to the mix is, it's not only that we had the COVID, we had the whole, you know, the Black Lives Matter stuff and riots and this, that, and the other thing. So I don't know what's going to, you know, and I touched on some things in my act, so I don't know where I'm, you know, I'm trying to touch on things in my act to see gauge audience reaction. And it's going okay, but my set is all over the place. I'm picking it, you know, I'm pulling here and there and there and there. So it was, you know, it was okay. It was, you know, kind of uneven, but it was, you know, it is what it is. I was talking about Bob Levy about it. And he goes, no, totally understand. He goes, you did fine and stuff like that. Saturday night I went up and I was pulling here and there. And then I had a game plan for where I wanted to go in the set. And then I'm like, I'm doing stuff. I'm like, why am I here doing this material? I shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, that went well. So it was a fun weekend. And at the end of the night, you know, we were all sitting talking, Dino, you know, Levy, Dave Landau, and stuff like that. And I stopped. I go, I miss this, too. You know, everybody just hanging out and talking, you know, which was good, too. So I turned on the Anthony Cumia show yesterday afternoon, and the first thing they talk about is the weekend, and it's like, you know, and they're mentioning, oh, yeah, went up, and Dave had fantastic sets. And what made it for Dave is that he never performed, you know, Dave and Rich Voss and Levy, they know of each other, but they don't know each other that well.
Mm-hmm.
So for Dave as a performer, Levy and Voss were in hysterics, so Dave, it was a seal of approval for them, which was really good, you know. And they're talking about it, and it's like, yeah, you know, Dave, you know, Voss was there, it was great, Dino had fun, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, what about me? They didn't even mention me. I'm like,
no. Oh, that sucks. That sucks.
So
I think these first shows, I mean, listen, nobody's working. Even the people that are, unless your name is Rich Carucci, nobody's going on stage all the time. Rich Carucci's working more now than during when things weren't a pandemic. I don't know how that is. But, I mean, even if you get on stage, how many times are people really getting on stage? We used to work, do 2, 4, 6 shows a week and everything. Nobody's getting on stage. The audience has to get that. Do they have a lot of people there? Do they sell out their capacity?
They had about 35 people there, and that's due to the regulations, you know?
But I'm saying, like, how many people could they have?
Probably what they had.
Okay.
Because they were turning people away.
Oh, that's good.
To use that as a gauge where shows are, when Dice plays Governors, it's sold out. It's 250 people, 275 people loaded to the rafters. I was there one night. I sat in there because I knew the bouncer. The bouncer let me sit in his chair. There was no other place to sit. Now, fast forward to this year, Dice was doing the – before Governors got shut down, I was like, Dice was doing the outside room. There was 60 people. Due to the regulations, so
you know, I just thought of this just now, just in this conversation. I bet the audiences that are there right now, no matter where you are very right wing, because before, you know, if you were in a region, you go, all right, this is a little bit more left, this is a little more right, or it's evenly dispersed. Now, I think the people that are going out, not everybody, but the vast majority, are going to be in favor of Donald Trump and take his word on the pandemic, which is not a huge amount of people, by the way, who trust. I think people who trust Trump on the pandemic is like around 30%. So I think those are the people that are going to be going to the clubs right now, which when you have reduced capacity is not a big deal. You can get them. I'd like to see somebody started doing Trump stuff and these audiences right now where usually like it flew, it was fine. Like what would happen now? Because I don't think too many liberals or too many people that follow Fauci and the science are going to go out in this environment right now to a comedy club. I think they're probably taking a little bit – they're being more cautious than a Trump supporter.
Maybe
I would think that you're right.
You know, that remains to be, you know, seen, you know. But like I said, people enjoy to get out, because I passed a comment on stage both nights. I go, it's so good to be back, and it's so good to get out, you know. And I go, we're all in the same boat. I go, you know, I was saying the first night on stage, I go, the last time I performed here was March 14th. I was the last person on this stage. I go, and I'm one of the first people back. And I'm like, you see what happens when I'm off stage? Shit goes wrong.
Yeah, funny. But I think the audience is going to give us more leeway. Like, you think your set was okay. The audience is first of all, the audience doesn't know what good Joe Curry is versus okay Joe Curry. They have no idea. Shit that we know we said wrong, they don't know. But I think they get the fact that these are weird times. They know enough that we're not working every weekend. They know that we're off. So, and they're just happy to be there. They're just happy we're trying to make them feel better. I think the audiences are going to be forgiving for a while.
Well, the thing about it was is that, you know, like I said, I was more structured on Friday night. Saturday I was kind of jumping all over the place, and I was telling Bob Levy this. I'm saying to myself while I'm on stage, I'm going, why are you jumping all over the place? And I'm like, you want to know something? I gotta test the waters here. You know, I go, because I'm headlining October 1st there. You know, so I got, you know, I'm doing 45. You know, so I got to make sure. You know,
what does he have? Like six comics in his fucking Rolodex?
Well, no, I had October 1st booked before. I had October 1st booked before COVID hit.
Well, we'll say. I think you'll still be open by October 1st. Shit's getting shut down, kids. Israel's like one of the first advanced countries to go into their second shutdown. Shit's getting shut down. It might not be under Trump.
Well, I booked a bunch of dates going into the end of the year, but we both prefaced it if they still keep the club open, you know.
My calendar for this year is wide open. I got nothing. I got some stuff for next year. I just booked Harrisburg, PA for like the first full weekend, I think, in January. We'll see if it's still there. That's a big room. So even if they're at 50%, that's still kind of full. So that might be the first time I go on stage. It's kind of, you know, I got to get on stage.
I was a little nervous because I picked up the Dave Landau gig kind of almost at the last minute with Dino. The next gig I have is October 23rd through the 22nd through the 24th at Mohegan Sun with Adam Ferrara. And I'm like, I wonder if this gig is going to call. So Adam called me yesterday, and he goes, what are you doing August 22nd through the 24th? I go, I'm with you. Oh, that's right. Yeah, good. All right. So you can do it again. He goes, the gig is 90% a go. He goes, if you got something coming in that weekend, take it. I go, don't worry, the phone ain't ringing. And he goes, neither for me either. He goes, but you know, so it looks like that gig's going. At least I have some time on, some stage time. And also, I'm back at the workshop again. I'm doing the workshop Thursday night. I'm doing it Friday night. I'm doing it Sunday night. Just going over what's more. But it's it's still the thrill of writing the material, going up there, seeing what's working and what's not, and then making it work. That's one of the things that, I didn't know if I wanted to go back to this. And it's one of the things that, I have to get back to this and do this.
Hey, you know what I was just thinking? Now that Adam's got all that free time, you should put the script in front of him again. It's not like he's working.
he's scrambling to find work.
Nobody's working. There are parts of the country where things are open, but not here.
Yeah.
Not here.
No.
Bahamas are still shut down. Figures. I fucking get moved up after many years and fucking should be moved up, and then they shut down the island. So there you go.
But they were moving you up to close?
Yep. That's what was happening. And then they shut down the island. Island's been closed for months.
They knew.
Well, yeah, they knew. They knew. So I don't know how I feel about this. Like, a lot of people, like, with the whole racism thing. Because a lot more people are proud of their racism over the past several years. They were always racist, but now they're proud about it. We saw that with the Jews will not replace us, down in Virginia. In the past, they would do that shit, but they would wear masks. Now, you know, they're proud of their racist stuff. So a lot of people are like, oh, I'm glad we see the racist. And then there's people like me go, no, I liked it better when they were underneath their rocks. I like that better. So now I'm having the same internal conversation with myself with stupidity. I don't know how I feel about people that are advertising their stupidity. I don't know if I don't know, and I'll give you a couple of examples. I don't know.
Please.
What?
Please.
I will. I don't know if I was happier. I think I was. I think, again, I was happier when they didn't advertise their stupidity. Because I've often said, back in the day, stupid people knew they were stupid, so they shut the fuck up. So I think that's what I prefer. So I think my message is, and I'll shortly give you a couple examples, if you're stupid, you need to recognize you're stupid. And you certainly don't want to advertise your stupidity. Because if you advertise your stupidity, I think you're twice as stupid than if you just said stupid shit. Because once you put it in sign form, kids, if you put it in sign form, I know you're a different level of moron. So I will give you two examples and we can discuss. So on the way to my kid's high school, you know, there's not a ton of political signs around. Joe has asked me, have I seen Biden signs? Yes, I'm seeing more Biden signs than I did in the past. But, yeah, of course, you also see Trump signs, which is fine. So this one person, a couple blocks from the high school, all trumped out, which is fine. You know, where's Joe? Where's, you know, like he's hiding, whatever. I don't give a shit about that.
He knows Joe?
Yeah, where's Joe? I knocked on the door.
I haven't been up in a while. He missed me.
Yeah, sure. No, but so this is one of the signs that, in my mind, advertises the stupidity. Trump, now more than ever. THEN. Ever. Got a bunch of those fucking signs. At some point, doesn't somebody have to stop the sign maker? I mean, at some point, don't you, if you're going to put it in sign form, don't you have to check that?
all through the channel. Does anybody stop to look at
him? I mean, maybe the sign maker, it's very possible the sign maker is a Democrat and goes, look at this dumb motherfucker. Sure, no, we'll give you these free of charge. No, put these all over your yard, you dumb fuck. But he's got a bunch of these signs. I should take a picture. I probably will one day. Trump, now more than THEN, ever. I'm like, I actually had to double check myself. I actually went home and double. I go, am I wrong? Am I the moron? Because
you look, you Google the word that
I did. That Joe, that's exactly what I did. But Google corrected me. Google's like, nay, it's THAN. I go, okay, good. I'm not the fucking moron here.
Well, apparently to this guy, it said that's fine.
But again, so now, say I would have ever crossed paths with him. If I was ever crossed paths with this person, and this person wanted to expound to me the virtues of Donald Trump, I couldn't even fucking listen. I go, you're a moron. Why? How could you say that? Have you seen your signs? I can't.
Let me tell you something. When I'm at the day program, if I have to write one of the factories and stuff like that, and I'll write a letter, you know, why do you charge freight, blah, 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 you can't do it. And I double-check everything, and then I missed one thing in the spelling. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I ruined the whole deal.
because now you don't feel that way with the blogs. I can tell you, I corrected a lot of things. But that's a blog, and I think you feel I'm going to check some of this shit. But for work, you should feel that way. Because you're supposed to be an educated human being for work.
Yeah.
And if you're putting shit on your front yard to let every, first of all, I think putting the bumper sticker, the political sign, that's a big fucking commitment. There's never been a candidate where I've said, you know what, let me put this shit on my front yard. I'll talk about it here. I'll talk about it on stage. But I live by my front yard. I live very close to my front yard. I don't need people talking to me about politics in my neighborhood unless I want to talk to them. But here, it doesn't matter.
And I don't know if I want people who have road rage to start with to see my bumper sticker and decide that that's where the point of all of their ire is going to go.
Yeah. Then you see, especially with Trump, you'll see like people like take like the soap and they'll put like Trump on the back of their pickup trucks and everything. It's just like, it's like, wow. Well, we'll get to the Lucolti thing, but that's dedication. All right, so that's one sign. That's the one I see in my everyday life. So we agree that person's a moron. Can we agree on
yes.
that?
Yeah.
Okay. So then this one was on my Facebook page. This is allegedly a sign. I do believe this comic who Joe, you know. You knew around the time when we were doing when there was the girl with the puppets that we used to go and do that mic in the city.
Okay.
She was one of the comedians in that group. I'll tell you another time.
It wasn't her though.
No, I don't even remember who that was. But I knew that.
Yeah, I remember.
I knew that. But if I said that, I knew you would remember what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, We got and with the whole puppet thing, we got intrigued into the story.
Yes.
We got dragged into the story every week.
So I am going to hold up this sign. You guys will you'll have to tell me if it's too bright on Zoom, and I will read it, of course, for the podcast. But first, I will hold it up on Zoom. Can you guys see this? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on a sec. I'm on a different page.
You're on a different page. Where's what are you talking about? Look at your screen.
No, I was looking at something else. Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right. Pip has obviously found.
Does somebody like children in Pennsylvania?
You really?
All right.
A little too much?
So this person, our Facebook friend, is posting this, not, hey, look at this fucking moron. Look at this. This person is proud of this post. This is allegedly in some studio. Two signs. I will read them, and then I will share for the listening audience and those who cannot see on Zoom what it says. Face masks are banned from this studio. If you are sick, please do not enter. Hashtag save the children. The real pandemic is pedophilia. We do not believe in the election infection. Hashtag save the children. Okay. First, forgetting about the QAnon bullshit that this person has. Forgetting about all that. Forgetting about the pedophilia really has nothing to do with COVID-19. Forgetting about that. Two huge red flags, if you would, and it's a red sign. The hashtag, save the children. Who the fuck are the children? There's no L in children. Not only do you post it on your sign, not once, but twice, you make it a fucking hashtag. I'm telling you, so I don't know anything about making anything go viral in social media, but I do know spelling helps.
Save the children.
Save the children. Now, the real pandemic is pedophilia. Pip, can you spell the word pedophilia for me?
Do I have to?
No. I mean, just spell the word. You're a good speller. You're a good command of the English language.
P-E-D-O-P-H-I-L-I-A.
Very good, Pip. You are correct. You win a child. No, you're very correct. Now, this person, obviously, listen, nobody likes pedophilia. Nobody's sticking up. But apparently, the whole scourge of pedophilia has to do with masks. But this person spells pedophilia with two L's. I don't know.
Oh, for
The thing that you're spelling, the thing that you're accusing people of, shouldn't you at least get that word right? Shouldn't that be at least the word you get correct? So you're going to put this on your studio. You're going to post everybody, you're a QAnon idiot. And then you're going to post, you can't spell. There's no way I'm trusting my children in your fucking care. I don't get it.
And it sounds, oh, like a bike race it sounds like a bike race in Philadelphia. Pedophilia.
The pedophilia.
Oh, God.
We're going to go right around the Rocky statue.
I mean, what the hell is wrong? I mean, spelling counts. I'm not one of these people on Facebook where somebody puts a post and go, oh, you spelled it wrong. I'm not that person. I notice. I think it in my head. And if I catch one of my mistakes, I edit and correct it. But I'm not the one who's going to fucking be the guy on the thread who's the dick. Oh, yeah, you spelled it wrong. A nice grammar as well. I'm not that guy. But if you're going to put it in a sign, if you're going to commit it to a sign for us all to see, you better get that shit correct. Otherwise, I know you're a moron.
And to do it twice and to make that your hashtag, yeah, you put on your dunce cap.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it's the same sign maker that made the Trump signs.
No, it's a different moron. No,
there's so many to choose from these days.
No, I mean, Jay Leno used to do a whole bit on this on his show with like misspellings and advertisements and everything. I'm not really breaking new ground with this shit, but I'm singling out people that clearly want me to know what their belief system is and their political affiliation is, which is fine. But I am saying you are immediately disqualified from having a conversation with me if you are spelling this way. And by the way, I don't know if you guys have noticed, on my social media, I am no longer engaging as much with morons. Or they would not have been considered morons before. But in my mind, there is so much evidence in certain things. Certain things. Now, Joe and I might have a policy discussion now and again, and that's fine. That's still open for everything. But on certain issues, in my mind, there are certain things that are no longer up for debate. And if people want to, like, bury their head in the sand, and we'll get to that in a little while. People want to bury their head in the sand. I am no longer wasting my time with you. I figure I need my time more now than ever.
There's no point because you're actually not going to break any ground at this point. You know, if it's the same tired arguments that you keep butting up against, it's like, what am I actually going to change? Water's wet. Let's move on.
I will entertain an intelligent conversation. I will go down that road with you. But there are certain things that unless you're truly the converted, and we will get to this later on, and I'm not dealing with it. And with scammers, with scam victims, I feel an obligation if somebody comes to me. God knows I was patient with Ann Jackson. God knows all the red flags were there for Ann Jackson. To the point, you know, on shows where none of us agreed, we all agreed Ann Jackson should fucking see what's going on. But she never did. And I was very patient with Ann Jackson. But with certain things, I just can't anymore. I can't. So I'm very proud of myself. So like people who I've engaged with back and forth for years, people that I've dated in the past, who, you know, I'm just like, no, you're just I'm sorry, you're a different type of stupid. It's very interesting though that a couple of my exes are very very pro Trump, and that politics was never an issue when I was dating. It wasn't discussed when we were all of dating age. Well, Joe's dating again, but when we were younger and of dating age, politics wasn't something we discussed.
You want to know something? You're right about that. I dated a girl for about two and a half, maybe 3 years. And this was back in the 80s. We dated from like 89 to 91 or whatever. And I don't remember talking politics with her.
No,
I mean she knew I was a Republican, but I never really ever discussed it with her. She is a she hates Trump with a passion.
I'll give you another example. And so to finish that thought, and then I'll give you something else I saw to finish that thought. So it's very funny. These two exes are like all in Trump's corner. You know, I don't know how much I really valued their mental capacity when I was dating. That's between us and who's ever listening. But I. But it's very interesting that my wife is like is much more aligned with my political views. Although I really don't discuss politics with her, but you know, sometimes she wants to, and I listen to her. But it's just interesting. It's like, wow, I wonder if they'd be so pro Trump if I had stayed with them, or if I would have won out. I wonder how that would have worked out. But you know, it worked out okay for me. So here was something go along the lines of things that weren't done. So I dropped my daughter off for the first day of in-school learning last week. And I see a kid getting out of the car. High school kid. I don't know how old this young man was. But he was wearing, you know, a Trump Pence 2020 shirt. Which is fine, I guess. You know, it's fine. I hope it doesn't cause any fights in the school. I haven't heard it would. It shouldn't. But we never did that. I was not that interested when I was in high school. By the time I was interested in George H.W. Bush, I guess towards my second half of high school, and I remember I had a sweatshirt from Desert Storm, which I still wear sometimes, with an American Eagle on it, and it had, in its talons it had like a Scud missile, and it was like Scud Buster, and I also had a Saddam Hussein one that I wore, Time for Your Medicine, and he was in the crosshairs, but that wasn't really political stuff, that was America war effort. With our enemies, back when we all agreed who the hell our enemies were.
Right.
But I never wore a Bill Clinton shirt. I never wore a Dukakis shirt, a Mondale shirt, a Reagan. It never occurred to me, and I don't think it ever occurred to my parents. It's just very interesting. And we've done a bunch of these stories where these kids are so politically aware.
You know what? Because basically with social media, obviously there was no social media then. You did have your political positions. You might address them in a social studies class or something like that because you were talking about, you know, current events. But we're a society now that everybody wants to put out how they feel due to social media. So you see more people wearing T-shirts. Basically, when I was in high school, Jimmy Carter was president.
Hold on, Joe. Are you guys hearing an echo all of a sudden?
Yeah. Oh, it's me somehow. Okay, sorry.
All right, go on, Joe. Jimmy Carter.
All right. So when I was in high school, Jimmy Carter was president, and it was the whole failed military mission and stuff like that, and we were in a recession and stuff like that. So you know, you would talk with your friends, your parents, you know, on how you felt about Jimmy Carter, discuss it maybe in social studies class or the debate, but we didn't wear shirts or anything like that. I mean, when the Reagan. Was elected. We were for Reagan and stuff like that. And during the Reagan years, I remember Anthony and I were having a discussion with my buddy's mom, who was very Democrat, and we would have discussions over the house, and that was it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he was wearing this Trump shirt. First day of school, you're making your first impression. This isn't a cold day in January where, you know, everybody knows you already. First day, so this, you plan out what you're going to wear the first day of school. We all did that. We want to look our best. Very often we're completely wrong and what we think is our best. But the first day of school, that's a huge day. So he said, I'm going to wear on the first day my black Trump Pence 2020 shirt, the way Joe or I would pick out a Metallica shirt for the first day of school. It's like, no, we're gonna hang out with the rockers, or he might put like a Mets shirt, you know, a Daryl Strawberry jersey, or I'd wear like a Yankee or Jets jersey. Like, no, this is what we're standing behind, because this is the first day. You want everybody to know this one thing about you, or you're very fat.
Yeah, well, me. Our dress was Charlie Daniels shirt and army jacket.
Right, so you get, but that was thought out. Looking like you didn't give a shit, but that first day of school, you made sure because you wanted the people who had the same same hobbies and same likes as you to gravitate towards you, so you could fit in.
Anthony, my buddy Frank, you know, my buddy Petey. Yeah. We all dressed the same way.
So this kid on his first day of school, he's like, "Fuck it, I don't want any liberals to like me."
They're nothing but trouble anyway.
I guess. I just thought that was like. I thought that was very weird. I mean, it's not wrong. He can wear whatever he wants. I'm not saying that doesn't belong in the schools. I'm not making that statement. You can wear whatever you want. I just thought, like, wow, what an interesting choice and what an interesting look of where we are as a society now.
Well, I remember in 1980, I'm really dating myself.
Somebody should.
I was in the high school then, and kids, there was an independent candidate for president, John Anderson, and I remember a couple kids wearing Anderson shirts.
Really?
And because it was a big deal having, you know, a third party candidate, and they were getting excited about the idea of they're going to vote for the first time. But I didn't think about wearing one myself or caring really about any candidate until I was in college.
I just thought, I just thought it was very interesting. Not only does he wear it to school, but on the first day of school. That's a statement. That's thought about. I don't know if it's a good statement or a bad statement.
If you feel passionately about, you know, your politics or who you want as president, you know,
but on the first day in high school, man, I don't know. I don't know. Why don't we just try to get along? Because you know, Trump is so divisive. You know, people either love this guy or hate this guy. There's really no middle of the road. Very few people. I mean, there's some, but very few people are undecided on Donald Trump. You know, there's other presidents you could feel wishy washy on. You know, I think people are probably wishy washy on Obama, on George Herbert Walker Bush, on Bill Clinton. No, because of the wars, people are very passionate about W. Although I don't think people on the right loved him. People on the left certainly hated W. So I don't know. That's like you said.
You know, what's really quaint to me is that I didn't end up putting it on my car, but I end up getting a sticker pack of, you know, different sayings from this company, and one of them was, it's a W, worst president ever, and I'm like, that's so quaint now.
Yeah, it didn't age well, not did it. Anyway.
No.
that's, well, whatever. We have plenty of time to talk politics. Anything else, Joe?
No, that's it.
Pip, what's going on with you?
Well, I might have an interview for a job coming up.
That's good.
Oh, great.
It's a company that was one of the vendors for the place that fired me.
Oh.
And yeah, it's really weird. I saw the ad come up, and I was like, oh, huh. Well, you know, that sounds like in my wheelhouse. So, and I have the connection being in the same industry. So I actually called to talk to the guy that I used to deal with there, and I said, hey, you know, I'm going to apply for the job. I was just wondering if it was okay if I mentioned in my cover letter that, you know, I had worked with you at my old place. And he goes, yeah, well, I would be the person that you'd be interviewing with, so it's fine.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, so I ended up talking to him for a little bit, and then he had to go, and he asked me to send his resume, and I was going to do it through the website, the job website, and he goes, don't bother, do you still have my old email? And I did, so I sent it directly to him, and he called me today, and we chatted for a while, and he's going to get back to me, he's going to talk to the guy ahead of him so I could meet with him and see if we're a good fit, so... Who knows?
Well, I mean, it's almost Halloween. It is the season for that line of work.
Yeah, I thank you. I have mixed feelings about it because, you know, I was kind of getting used to being a lady of leisure and the whole idea of like, oh, back to the grind. But you know what? There's that stuff that folds and you put in your pocket and you hand to people and they give you things.
Condoms.
No, they don't give you things if you wear those. yeah, I remembered how good that felt to have those pieces of paper, and I would like some more.
Can't relate.
So yeah.
Can't relate. I like my weekends free to myself, so I have time to think. All right, well, good luck. Good luck. You know.
Thank you. I'll have to see. I thought it was funny that it was, you know, I was like, hey, friend, can you do me a solid with, you know, with HR, and he's like, oh, it's me. So, the weird thing is that I think that if I get this job, I will have to do business with my old boss that fired me.
So make his life a living hell.
I do, too.
Do you?
Yeah, because what happened is, it's almost essentially the same thing. Blatsky is a vendor of where I used to work. So when they let me go, my boss now called me and said, he let you go? And I'm like, yeah. I go, all right, you'll start with us, you know? So so I lucked out on that. But I had to work deal with my old, you know, business. And I, you know, it's funny. My old boss is a good guy. It was much his dad's decision to let me go. And I don't think he really agreed with it. But, you know, his dad owned the place. So, you know, and we'll talk, and we're both like heavy metal fans. So, well, you know, we'll talk about rock and stuff like that. Matter of fact, I priced him out of some stuff today. You know, so it's business, you know, it's business.
Yeah, I mean, when I was getting fired, she said, you know, nothing personal, I like you, you know, it's just business. And I didn't say anything to her because I loathe her with the heat of 1,000 suns. But I kept my mouth shut because...
I got that one down. It's pretty good.
That is specific.
I just, you know, I don't burn my bridges like that. Like, I'm not like a, you know, throw shit up in the air and start cursing lever. I always leave quietly and, you know, mind my business because... I found that no matter what I do, I run into the same fucking people over and over again, and I end up having to work with them. So, like, I kept my mouth shut, and it's a damn good thing because I can just imagine having conversations with her and having, like, to, like, do business with her now, and I'm like, do I really want to do this? But... you know, it's like Lisa says in the chat. It's the dollar signs.
Yes, we know you're. Yeah. We know you're a whore.
Like I said, there was no animosity between my, you know, my other job. You know, it's an employment supply, and we, you know, I still have a very good, you know, relationship with them. I mean, when I used to work at my other job, I used to go to Platsky to pick up stuff, you know, on my lunch hour to save freight. And when I'm at Platsky, I drop stuff off on my lunch hour to save them freight. It's just, you know.
That's very nice.
Yeah, you know, it just, you know, happens for a reason. So, yeah, you know, and I still sell stuff. I talked to my old, you know, the old salesman and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, it's business. You know, you always want to keep a good reputation. I mean, I had, when I worked in the fence business, there was one of the fence companies I had. I ran the place. They let me go when it got slow. I came back, and they kept me going for about 4 months when I got laid off from another place that was doing side work. So, you know, it's always good. You can't buy a good reputation. That's something
right.
that you have to earn.
I know. I've tried. All right. Let's take our first break. Let's take our first break. Pip,
yeah.
Pip will be selling reputations on the break, so make sure you buy a reputation from Pip. On the break, we got new music from Nicky Rubin with Invisible and Penelope Darling with All In, and you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. We'll be right back with a kid who got...